Down to Business, sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas, wherever you are.
Yes, we're in Cork and we're winning back the high street. Yes. Now, we wanted to take a look at how Cork's main street, Patrick Street, is faring. We've got Oliver Plunkett Street, McCurtain Street, all these streets that I know of old. And joining me now to discuss retail life and business life in the city are Thomas McHugh, he's the Director of Policy with the Cork Chamber, Jim Barry of the Barry Group and Costcutter Group is with us as well, and finally, Ernest Cantillon, our own owner of Electric Bar and Restaurant and Sober Lane, and our host here this morning, he also joins us. And I'll also have some retailers in the audience that we'll get to shortly, but Thomas, we might start with you. You're Director of Policy and External Affairs at the Cork Chamber. Tell us, give us an overview of Cork City, commercially, from a retail perspective. How are things?
Yeah, well, we think it's a very exciting time for Cork at the moment. I mean, we're on the cusp of a national planning framework, and we firmly believe that Cork can be, the fulcrum for growth in the southern region, basically. We've got a multitude of really strong sectors here in Cork, and there's also some really, unique and exciting things happening here. For example, just across the road here, we have Oculus Rift, which was recently purchased by Facebook, which is a fantastic technology. That's the highest, probably tier of office life. That's at the cutting edge, and it's right here in the city centre. And it's literally the offices are filtering out onto the Grand Parade and onto Patrick Street. So there's kind of a great vibrancy, and there's a great kind of sense of the build-up of inward investment in the city as well.
Cork is a merchant city, and it has a great history of retail and business and commerce. It's also, it's the second city, so it's a city in the true sense where people commute in and out to town every day. What about things like rail links, traffic, the sort of general infrastructure around people getting about? How is that?
Yeah, well, it's really good. I mean, we have about 40,000 people accessing, the city by bus every day in Cork, so there's a real vibrancy to that. I get the train myself. We've got fantastic connections out to the east, to Milton, to Cove there, and there's a real hustle and bustle coming in there in the mornings. And then obviously, with the uptake in the economy, there's a little bit more traffic on our roads, but equally we've got some great measures coming in place to alleviate that. So in the same way that the Red Cow was the perennial news bite every morning, we have the Dunkettle Roundabout, but there's a fantastic interchange design for that, and that's actually out to tender at the moment. So it's kind of coming into the pipeline, so that'll be...
And just before I bring in our other guest, Thomas, what about the shopping centre versus the city? That sort of divide, you've got Mahon Point, you've some older shopping centres like Bishopstown and some on the north side of the city. Is the balance of shopping centre versus high street traders, let's call them for a minute, is that right? Would you say it's a good balance?
I think there's a great vibrancy to the city centre. There's a lot of very fine grain types of offer here that you don't necessarily find, in the out of town retail outlets. I think people very much differentiate in their heads. Coming into the city is very much around that fine grain experience of the city centre culture. So I think they're quite complementary, and I would say that each of them stands on their own two feet.
Okay. Let's bring in Ernest Cantillon. And Ernest, you're very welcome to the program.
Thank you. And
thank you for looking after us here this morning. You're sort of a revolutionary in the food and bar game. And again, I equate you to somebody like the late Hugh O'Regan, somebody who has an eye for a premises, who doesn't have to spend a fortune in a place.
Thank you.
And who can get a crowd and get a buzz going around food and beverage. So I take my hat off to you, because I can see what you're doing. And how have you found, you're having no difficulty getting customers into Sober Lane and Electric and all your other venues?
Yeah, we're very lucky. We've been good. Just to develop on something that Thomas said, I think over the last couple of years, Cork has realigned a little bit. And there was a time certainly where we longed to be maybe more like Dublin, and all we wanted was the big brands to come to Cork. And I think as soon as going got tough, they were probably the first to leave, and we saw it on Patrick Street, whereas the Independence stayed maybe because they had to. It wasn't a case of just closing one branch, it was because it was a family business, and you see that on Plunkett Street. So as a result of that, I think our citizens, our customers now are embracing the Independence, and that's celebrated. And I suppose being an independent operator, I benefit from that. I suppose people are more loyal to Cork's businesses. But certainly, when you talk about Patrick Street, which would be big retailers from probably outside of town, Oliver Plunkett Street is certainly giving that for a run for the money now. And that's all independents, restaurants, bars, and non-chain things, and probably smaller footprints, but they're thriving. And they've, I suppose, they certainly went through a lean couple of years, but they've come back in a big way. So instead of trying to be like a bigger city, we're trying to be our own city. And that's suiting the independents.
Yeah,
you know,
no,
so
I'm feeling that
benefit here.
No, I get that, where one creates one's own identity on the basis of the sort of various mix. What about, like, should there be vacancies on Patrick Street at this stage? Or why, like, you know, if you say Patrick Street is the street that it is, surely it's slightly bizarre that there should be empty premises on that
street?
I
think certainly, again, for the size of footprints that there is there, they're probably the big retailers coming in, and I think they probably want to make sure that Cork is back. We know it's back on track, but I suppose there's a bit of a lead time there, and that confidence will take a while to get back there.
But as somebody who looks at property, I'd be saying either the rent is too high or the premises is too small. It can only be one or other.
I think it's a very old street, so you certainly have the latter. For the bigger, you know, if somebody like Zara, who is a retailer we would love to see on Patrick Street, for example, and isn't there yet is in some of the shopping centres, probably the lack of square footage is there. But that's being addressed by, for example, the new units in the Capital Cinema, as you talked about. Just to the right of HMV, as you face, there was three small units there. They're now being knocked into one to accommodate people like that.
Yeah. Let me bring in Jim Barry from the Barry Group. Jim, great to talk to you. You're representing Mallow. I know you've got connections in Cove. So let's just go a little bit outside the city for your take in terms of how the county is doing. The county versus the city, do they feed off one another?
Oh, they do. I think they're very complementary.
Yeah.
I think the city needs towns around them. I think that's part of modern society, how it works. I think a lot of people in Mallow, Middleton, Cove, they spend a lot of money in the city. Yeah. And there's a balance of spend between the city and the local town. And I think most of the towns around the city, that balance is working pretty well. From my observation, Middleton, Mallow and Cove, as examples, they are trading quite well. Obviously, things got quite tough during the recession. And I think there was a lack of confidence. The consumer spend just dropped out. But I think in the last 2 years, there's been quite a number of businesses opening in Mallow and Middleton for sure, and Cove as well. And I think there's a new sense of confidence. I think Brexit is probably putting a small bit of a question mark over it, and something we all need to get our head around. But again, there's going to be opportunity in Brexit as well as some threats. And I think the challenge we all have is to figure out what are the threats and the opportunities, and mitigate the actual threats, but focus on the opportunity. And there's always opportunity. And I think since the recession, we all got a right shaking in that. But I think we've got very good at figuring out solutions. Like, we're entrepreneurs and we're good at figuring out solutions to problems.
Yeah.
And I think that forced us to become much better problem solvers.
And when you look at your own business, and particularly the front end of your business is in convenience retail, like, that's probably a good barometer of how the consumer is actually, whether he or she is spending or not, in terms of the types of things that they spend. And again, your sector, you've seen a big move towards food service, away from peas and beans.
Yeah.
You know, in the sense that the way people shop has actually changed massively.
Yeah, it's actually back again to how you respond. The convenience sector had to respond, and it's responded really well. The standard of convenience store in Ireland now has gone way up. So the response that was needed has taken place. The convenience market is plus 4 or 5% at the moment. Now, our own brands are trading ahead of that. But that's a very positive situation in still a tough market. Making money, to be fair, is difficult. And I think every business is facing challenges, that cost of doing business, etc. And that's forcing us to keep going back, looking at what we're doing and fine-tuning what we do.
Okay, well, stay with us, Jim, because we have a lot to talk about. Let me go to some of our audience now. Let me talk about Best of Buds, Caroline Horgan, a former recruitment worker who's now owns a flower shop. That's some transition, recruitment to flowers. Maybe you could say they're the same, but very different worlds, no?
Absolutely, they are. I suppose, first of all, a sigh of relief that a woman is being brought onto the panel here, because it's all men this morning, which is most disturbing.
We're only warming up. There's lots of ladies going to be featuring the rest of the show.
Yes, indeed. I was in recruitment for 20 years, just across the road here on the South Mall with Network Personnel. And just a passion that I had from a young age was to build a flower business in the city centre. And that's something that I started 7 years ago. I suppose we sailed into the winds of the recession. And I knew if I could make it there, as they say, I'd make it anywhere. And we went for it. And it has gone from strength to strength. And we moved from the South Mall back down almost to the Patrick Street itself, where we went into the first shopping mall built in this country in 1926, the Winthrop Arcade.
Oh,
beautiful,
yeah.
Arcade.
I know where it is.
Yes,
yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
So we're in there now, and we're just doing very, very well.
And Carol, can I ask you how you made that transition? You know, when you were in the recruitment business, did you sort of upskill yourself on a part-time basis around the floral end? In other words, to get yourself ready for this new venture that you were going to embark on?
You know what, Bobby? I think it's really built on a determination to succeed, and that's not cliche. I think I was in business, recruitment business, for 20 years. It's a tough business. I'd gone through two recessions, and I knew that, you know, you have to consolidate and you have to have kind of good business acumen and a cool head to go forward. The recruitment industry, obviously, like all the other industries, took a dive way back then. And I could see it coming. I could see it slowing down because we had a big agency here in the city. And I knew that I didn't want to be around to build it back up again. Yeah. I loved recruitment. Many of my clients, I'm sure, are listening this morning. I was passionate about what I did. But I thought it best to leave while I was in love. And I left recruitment. And the agency is still going, actually. And I my partner looked after that. And I went on and said, well, if I apply the same business sense to the flower business, which I have a passion for flowers, I went to London, trained there, and came back there to Cork, and I set up my flower shop in my agency across the road. I converted downstairs to a flower shop, and Ernest here was one of my first customers. I think we set out together. I was just on the mall a little bit before him with electric. He went into the bank and I went into a recruitment agency with a flower shop.
There you go.
But it was good. It was fantastic.
Well done, Carol. Well done. That's a great story.
Yeah,
great story. Okay, thank you very much. Let me go to one of the stalwarts of the English market, a man who knows the Queen by first name, Mr. Pat O'Connell. How are you, Pat?
Funny how you'd say that today on the actual 6th anniversary of that visit, Bobby.
Was it today? The sixth anniversary, Bobby.
Yeah.
Listen, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Bobby. Welcome to Cork.
We love the English market. We love what it represents, what it does, the hustle, the bustle, the traders, you know, the food. It's just such a special place, Pat. How could we sort of box that and you know, really just even make more than you do here in Cork around it?
Many have tried, Bobby, but they've all failed.
Yeah.
I suppose in many ways, to me, the English market is very much a little miniature of Cork City anyway. You know, major port city, so obviously fishing the likes of it was always kind of prominent here. Merchant city, as you said, so it's always been multicultural. And I think the English market, with its character, its tradition, its history, you know, the product that it does today, you know, where else would you get such a display of local food in the one spot? And you know, I suppose we're so lucky in Cork that we have two high streets, but we always kind of do things in Cork on the double. You know, you have Patrick Street, which is with the big shops, but then you've got a thriving street running parallel with it in Oliver Plunkett Street, where you've got the indigenous family businesses. Very much microcosm of Cork, thriving at the moment. And there is no doubt about it, Cork is very much on the up.
And what about if we go to the other side of the river, maybe streets that probably have gone through transition, maybe streets like McCurtain Street that would have had manufacturing, there was bakeries there, there was some retail. Again, the changing times. Have we maybe too much retail in certain places that we'd be better off maybe concertining it slightly?
I don't think so, Bobby. I mean, Cork is a growing city. Change happens, and without change, you know, things will die. And I think, you know, at the moment, you look at particular streets, you mentioned McCurtain Street, and you see, you know, some incredible restaurants there, including Rachel's, which is the latest one. Huge success, and you know, doing a really good product. Again, buying a lot of stuff from the English market. So, you know, it's about one business supporting another. It's about, you know, helping each other out. And there is that incredible sense of community in Cork, I think more so than any other city. You know, we are very proud, as I said, the tradition, culture, it's built into our fabric.
Yeah.
You know, so it really is a fantastic community. You know, a bit like a saucer, everything kind of gathers in the middle. And Cork, that's what it's about.
Well, listen, you're a great ambassador for the city, Pat, and thank you for that contribution. Let me talk to Paul Montgomery, owner of Supernova, Reardon's, director, the Oliver Plunkett, director James's Street, and director Rachel's Restaurant, no less. Yes.
Thanks, Pat.
Paul, how are you?
I'm good.
How's Rachel's Restaurant?
Super.
Go on, tell us more.
Well, it's all about Rachel Allen. So from start to finish, it's really about her. And it's her first foray into a restaurant in Ireland. And she's loving it. We're loving it. I think the people of Cork are loving it. And it's, you know, it's a real attraction for visitors as well. And we get a lot of people now. And I suppose listening to what you're saying this morning, that I think maybe that the nighttime economy maybe is the key to winning back the high street. And I think we're certainly doing that at nighttime.
Okay.
I was impressed to hear that you were up to until 3 o'clock this morning.
I was a bit like
myself.
And I wish it was a social thing. I know.
So, yeah. Bobby, you'll have to spend a few nights here in Cork. It's a bit like Disneyland here at nighttime.
It's a good point you make, Paul, because retail is now so much more about just buying something. You know, we've got the threat of online. We've got all this stuff happening. And really, people almost need to be entertained as they shop.
I think we're going back to this. It's used probably a bit too much for this, experience and people looking for the experience. If you see all, you know, concert tickets sell out so quick, we have Parky Kiev coming on board very quick, and I'm on a committee there selling the premium tickets, which are going really well. But the key there are the concerts. Everyone is asking about the concerts, the events, the nighttime stuff.
Yeah,
and the hotels are filling in Cork. The restaurants, I see it with Rachel's, I see it in our other venues. The food is so big. Like, our venues are literally, I'm sure it's the same with Ernest here, with visitors into the city. Like, this is where I think the retail and the high street is going to really win back, because if we have them at nighttime, they're hanging around here today, they're hanging around tomorrow.
Yeah, and they'll spend.
Litfest is on in Ballymaloe this weekend. There's 15 or 16 or 20,000 people down there. I know you mentioned it earlier.
Thank you for that. I just wanted to remind our listeners that, Bobby's late breakfast will be out at Litfest tomorrow. We've got a great show lined up, and more of that later. This is Winning Back the High Street.
So
dare I be distracted?
The key to the success of the Cork economy and the high street must be, a lot of it lies in the nighttime economy.
Okay, I think that's a good point. Can I just ask you then finally about Parky Kiev? Mm-hmm. So something like the development that's happened there, the investment that's been made in the infrastructure out there, the ability, as you say, to host things like concerts.
Yes.
That's surely a bit of a game changer, is it not?
It's a game changer. And let's not forget the event centre, which we absolutely have here close by as well. I mean, 3 or 4 events on a week. Parky Kiev having 25 to 30 GA matches, not a talk of 3 or 4 big concerts. I mean, it is a huge game changer for Cork, and a huge game changer for retail and for everything else in city centre.
Okay.
Cork is happening.
Okay, and it certainly is, and very well spoken, and it's really good to get a barometer and a temperature of what's happening here. Let me go back to you, Thomas McHugh. You've heard retailers, traders, and business people there really sing the praise of this. Is there a good community of business in the city, and is there a collective vision for Cork City?
Oh, I think absolutely. I mean, even just from a Cork Chamber perspective, we've 1,200 members representing 100,000 people, and we can kind of, you know, articulate that vision. Another example of that would be that there's recently a plan being put out for Cork 2050, which is the vision of both the county and the city. So that was a huge collective effort with, like, multiple stakeholders. And, you know, that vision, I think that the thing about Cork is that no matter who you speak to here, no matter what, you know, businesses they represent, that passion is there and that clarity of vision.
Ernest, just to ask you finally about even the next 5 years, you're somebody who's got your finger on the pulse here in the city. Do you see a lot of opportunity?
we're lucky in that with some of the current uncertainty that may be a factor for somebody like Dublin, or opportunity with something like Brexit, we have a huge amount of big pharmaceutical industries and American companies here, and they really pad out the week from a point of view of midweek business and people with disposable income because they're very skilled jobs. And you'll see it in the Chamber, certainly, and they're huge players in Cork. So they really, we're now realising the advantages that we have in embracing them. So I think as they're growing, Eli Lilly have announced a massive expansion, which is great, after being on pause for a while. So it's good that their vote of confidence is coming back.
So you're
it's good news.
Upbeat. Yeah. Last word to you, Jim Barry. You're a proud Cork man. You're here. You've heard your colleagues here speak so eloquently about, and there seems to be a genuine thread of optimism. And you know, and I think no one has really taken anything for granted.
No, I think Cork is actually a perfect size. It's big enough to have a great economy, and it's small enough to actually work together. And I think it's this sense of togetherness in Cork probably sets us out from other cities. And there's always a bit of passion, there's a bit of pride, a bit of stubbornness as well. But that put together in the right way, with the plans for the city, Cork is going the right direction, no doubt about it.
So it's to bottle the enthusiasm, is
we'll
that
keep
it?
No, we're keeping it.
You're not giving
it's
it to anyone
sharing,
else?
No. Not for sharing.
All right, okay. Well, listen, I'd like to thank my guests up here, Thomas McHugh, Director of Policy for Cork Chamber, Jim Barry for the Costcutter Barry Group, and Ernest Cantillon, our host here today, owner of Electric and Sober Lane. Thank you very much, guys, and thank you as well, so eloquently put, from the audience, winning back the High Street. Loads more to come. Stay tuned.
Down to Business, sponsored by Flowgas. On the grid, off the grid. Flowgas is Ireland's only supplier of LPG and natural gas, wherever you are.